The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Let's turn our attention to a meeting that's happening in Washington. We have got Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, meeting with Donald Trump in the White House. It comes after Keir Starmer announced that they are going to increase their spending on defence by 2.5%, mostly due to the fact that it needs to be done, but also to turn around to Donald Trump and say, well, we're doing what you've asked us to do. Enda Brady is the presenter of Roundtable on TRT World, our man in London. Morning to you, Enda.
Good morning, Jonathan. Good to speak to you again.
It is very much a delicate high wire act for Keir Starmer today, isn't it?
It really is. And look, he is aware that Trump is a transactional president, so he is bringing something to the table today in Washington, D.C. But there's a lot riding on this, not only for Ukraine, European security as well. And in the background, the whole issue of trade and tariffs. And Starmer will be hoping that Trump gives the UK some sort of an exemption, that if he does follow through on tariffs on European Union countries and their goods, that the UK somehow manages to dodge that bullet. But ultimately, Starmer will go to America today with the offer of putting British boots on the ground in Ukraine as peacekeepers if the Americans provide air support.
How open, I mean, again, I'm asking you this question knowing that you don't have the answer. How open is Donald Trump going to be to that? Because right now, you cannot predict with any certainty what's going to come out of the man's mouth.
We simply don't know, but he will look at it from a business perspective and how much is this going to cost us? I'm sure that's what he will be thinking. Trump will be thinking, well, hang on, why am I paying? Why is the American taxpayer paying for European security when you've got all these big nations not doing enough as it is? And we know he has slammed European members of NATO for not contributing enough. He feels they should be paying 5%. So if you look at it from Trump's perspective, Keir Starmer turning up and saying, well, it's great, we're now going to pay 2.5% of GDP in 2 years' time on defence, when Trump wants 5%, he wants double that. But the money simply isn't in the UK anymore. And even to get from 2.3% to 2.5% of GDP on defence, Starmer has had to bin off the foreign aid budget and financial jiggery-pokery. He's moving that money into the defence fund. So I'm not sure Trump will be hugely impressed.
Yeah. The other thing, of course, he's going to try and do is distance himself from the European Union when it comes to tariffs, and perhaps also be a bridge between the European Union and Trump. I can't see how you can do two different things at one time, yet he's going to try.
He has to try. It's a high wire balancing act for Starmer. It really is. And look, Starmer has good relationships in Europe. Macron rang him on Tuesday night, we're told, having spent Monday with Trump in America. So Macron and Starmer have a good relationship. But at the same time, it's each for themselves at the moment. The UK economy, this country is flatlining. There is no growth anywhere. Last quarter, it was 0.1%. You look at Spain, 3.2% over the whole of last year. The Spanish are the poster boys and girls of European economies. The UK would dearly love to see that kind of growth. So Starmer has no money, no growth, no financial wriggle room. And Trump knows this. So it's a very, very awkward meeting. I mean, they're describing this as the most significant meeting of a UK prime minister and an American president in a generation.
It's remarkable to judge the mood in the UK. I spent some time in London yesterday, and I've never seen British people so, I'm going to go out and say, just depressed over their economic fortunes, that they know their country isn't performing and they know that it might be something to do with Brexit, but nobody's allowed to talk about that. And they're not sure of the way out. So I don't think that the British people see Trump as the solution. They probably see him as more of a problem at this point.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Everything is flat. Everything is flat across the UK. The mood, there is no optimism. People are leaving this country in record numbers. British people going to Australia, New Zealand, Canada, United States. Just to give you one little anecdote, Jonathan, just that will, for me, sums up everything that has gone wrong here. I live outside Henley-on-Thames in Oxfordshire. 2.5 years ago, in the local council car park, they installed 8 electric vehicle charging points. All well and good. They didn't switch them on. they didn't connect them to the power grid. So they've sat there for 2.5 years. Presumably the contractor got paid 2.5 years ago. Hasn't been seen since up until last week when they closed the roads around the car park. And it took them 3 days. And they've now finally connected these EV chargers to the electricity grid. So this was a project that started in 2022 and it has just finished now. So for 2.5 years, those EV chargers did not move, did not charge a single vehicle. And that's where we are with infrastructure in the UK right now. Zero leadership.
I think that would still be classified as a success if we had it done this quickly in Ireland. Finally, and just to close it out with you, this documentary that the BBC were criticised for, it was a documentary that was filmed in Gaza. And then lots of people said it shouldn't have been shown because it was sympathetic to Hamas. Now there's lots of people in the BBC saying it should be restored. What is happening with it?
So my information is that there is a board meeting taking place at the BBC this morning where the head of news will address this whole issue. They've pulled it from the BBC iPlayer because the BBC management have subsequently found out that the narrator, a 14-year-old Palestinian boy, is allegedly the son of a Hamas official. So that led to the BBC pulling it last week. A lot of people are very, very angry. It has been hailed as a great piece of journalism. It is showing everything that has happened to the Palestinian people in Gaza for the last 18 plus months through the eyes of a child. 650 big hitters have written a letter today to the BBC calling it for to be reinstated. Amongst them, you have Match of the Day presenter Gary Lineker, Ken Loach, the famous film director from Wind That Shakes the Barley, and others, Miriam Margolyes as well. She's on that letter. And these are very significant names in British media landscape, all urging the BBC to put it back on there. So it's a complete conundrum for the management of the BBC. But the question they should be asking themselves is, when this was commissioned, did nobody ask the question, who's this 14-year-old boy and who's his family? You know, again, no leadership whatsoever.
Yeah, okay. We'll see if the BBC responds. Well, they'll have to respond in some way to that. Enda Brady, presenter of Roundtable on TRT World. Very good episode yesterday, Enda, if you don't mind me saying. Good guests, including me.
Some guests from Cork we couldn't shut up.
It's available on YouTube if you want to watch it later on. Enda, thanks very much indeed for that.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.